Go put your sling on. Amen. Well, glad to have you here today. Take your Bible, 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. First of all, let me say I thank God that forgiveness is possible. I'm glad about that. I am so happy about that. I'm thrilled to think that God is willing to forgive me and continues to forgive me. And if you're anything like me, you need forgiveness. Amen. And you need time with God to speak to your heart, and God will do great work. Forgiveness is possible. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. 1 John 1, 9, we just read that. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Being a Bible-believing Christian, we believe the Word of God is true. Amen? And we take it at its word. We appreciate and we adore the fact that our sins have been forgiven and that we have been bought and forgiven by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 20, verse 28, the Bible said, he hath purchased us with his own blood. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 that I read, in whom we have redemption through his blood. As a Christian, we love to be called by that familiar expression, we are born again. I was a pastor of a church in South Dakota, and a next door neighbor of mine, she was from another religious persuasion, and I was talking to her one day, and I said, have you ever been born again? She said, born again, born again, born again, born again. That's all you Baptists talk about, born again. It's not even in the Bible. I said, it's not in the Bible? She said, no, it's not. I said, what would you say if I showed you in the Bible? She said, it's not there. And I said, well, let's read John. Let's read John. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be, her eyeballs got as big as silver dollars. She said, my minister said it's not in the book. I said, well, ma'am, it's in the book. And by that, she got born again. Amen. We, as Christians, we love to be called that familiar expression, born again believers. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, the Bible said, being born again, yep, it's there again, and of not corruptible seed, but incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. As a Christian, we also treasure the fact that we are God's children. We treasure that fact. I'm one of God's kids. Hey, man, sometimes don't act like God's kid, but I is God's kid. My mom used to say, I was doing something. She says, that's not my Sheldon. I don't know what you did with him, but you're not my boy. I said, yes, I am, Mama. I'm sorry. Forgive me, please. Anybody, you know, she could kill me all the time. Just by little words, just nip me in my. So as a Christian, we treasure the fact that we're God's children. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 says, beloved, how now we are the sons of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 17. And if children, then heir of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that after we suffer with him, that we may also glorified together. And as Christians, not only do we treasure that we are his children, we also cherish the fact that we are his converts. The Bible says in Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, the beginning, it says, repent ye therefore and be converted. We also, as Christians, enjoy the fact that we are called believers. Acts chapter 4, verse 4, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed. Acts chapter 5, verse 14, and believers were the more added to the Lord. We also, as Christians, we value the thought that we are His disciples. The disciple in the New Testament, there's no disciples in New York. In the New Testament Greek word, it pictures the disciple meaning one who's willing to be taught. We value that. We like to be taught. We like to be taught the Word of God. We like to sit down with people and talk about the Word of God. One of my friend of mine invited me over for coffee the other day, and we just sat and we talked about the Word of God. And I revel in that. I enjoy that. I value that, just to talk about the Word of God, just to think of things of the Word of God. As a Christian, we reserve the fact, we revere the fact that we are the holy and the royal priesthood. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, ye also, as lively stones, are built up in a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of the darkness into His marvelous light. We as Christians also value the blessings of being forgiven. Micah chapter 7, verse 19. He will turn again, and He will have compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquities, and Thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. We value that. We value the fact that we can be forgiven. I don't know about you, but I sure value that. Amen. I'm glad that God forgives me. I know some of you rascals. I know some of your lives. I know some of the things you have told me about in your despicable growing up and some of your foolishness and your stupidity. Unfortunately, I can relate to a lot of that. But we value the fact that God forgives us. We enjoy the fact that God forgives us. We are pleased that God forgives us. We are thankful that God forgives us. We are excited that God forgives us. We are overwhelmed that God would forgive us. Psalm 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far He hath removed our transgressions from us. 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a blessing to know that our sins are forgiven, that I am on my way, and if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're on your way to heaven someday. We don't have to worry about tomorrow. We just have to take care of today. Because Jesus will take care of tomorrow. With all that God has given us, and all that He heavily has bestowed on us, all that the Lord has done for us, reminds me of that wonderful song, oh my tribute. How can I say thanks for the things You have done for me? Things so undeserved, yet You gave to prove Your love for me. The choice of a million angels, the voice of a million angels could not express my gratitude that I am and ever hope to be. I owe it all to Thee. To God be the glory. Amen. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for the things He has done. With His blood, He has saved me. With His power, He hath raised me. To God be the glory for the things He hath done. Just let me live my life. Let it be pleasing, Lord, to Thee. And if I gain any praise, let it go to Calvary with His blood. He saved me. With His power, He has raised me. To God be the glory for the things He has done. You know, I stand amazed to think of all the mercy and grace that he's given to us. I just stand amazed. I am overwhelmed to see what God has done for me in my life and God has done for you in your life. Yet mankind has a tinge of brutality which shadows humans everywhere. And that is the touch of unmercifulness which has scarred in our sinful minds. If we are not careful, we would purge the world of each other and rid the world of our own selves. Unfortunately, our lives hinge on humanistic doctrines, and we are a self-serving people, aren't we? As long as I get my share, as long as I get what I want, as long as I am comfortable, as long as I am filled, who cares? Let the world go to hell. I'm taken care of. I need nothing else. Kind of sounds like you, doesn't it? Sounds like me, doesn't it? My son was just returning from an African hunt, and elephant hunt. There's a rogue elephant that's killing people, and so the government had asked someone to come in and take care of that rogue elephant, and my son had the privilege of being with a friend that did that. And the most dangerous time of the hunt, the professional hunter said, is not during the hunt of the elephant. It's after the elephant is dead. And he said, what are you talking about? He said, the natives, once they hear a gunshot go off, they come hunting. They already know the hunt has been taking place. And they bring their sharp knives and their saws, and they begin to share the carcass, pushing and shoving and yelling and screaming, and knife fights break out, and they get a little more than the elephant meat. That's human at its best. What we have not found in the basic principles of Jesus Christ was trying to teach was the person who gained the most from forgiveness is the person who does the forgiving. Even if there is no reconciliation, there can still be total forgiveness. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Luke chapter 23, 34. There is no reconciliation from those who put him on the cross, yet he was right in his own heart before his Father. Luke chapter 6, verse 37, judge not, and ye shall be not judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, ye so also do ye. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. But I say unto you, love your enemy. Bless them that curse thee. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. I have a real hard time with that verse. So do you. Don't you say anything about my daughter. Don't you say anything about my son. Don't you say anything about my mama. Don't you say anything about my daddy. Don't you say anything about my grandkid. I'm right there. Aren't you? Don't look at me like a cow looking at a new gate. Yes, you are. It's okay when other people do other things to other people, say other things about other people, but don't you dare let them say or what I have or what I own. Just come up to a guy that has a Ford pickup and say, that's a piece of junk. The initials are fix or repair daily. F-O-R-D. And you got a cat fight. Let somebody talk about your favorite basketball team. Go Kentucky. Wow. You know. Somebody called me up and it was Michigan was playing Tennessee. I didn't even know they were playing. Man, I was busy doing something else. They said, well, your team won. My team. I'm from Montana. I may have been born in Michigan, but it was before I knew what Montana was. I would say, Mom and Dad, move to Montana, have birth, and then go back to Michigan if you want to live there, but I'll stay in Montana. Say, are you crazy? No, I'm not, and I'm really happy to be here, amen. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. What does it say? But I say unto you, love your enemies. Lord, I'm going to talk to you this morning to get to heaven. Amen. Bless them that curse you. I like to be around people that like me. I like people cursing me. Do good to them that hate thee. I don't want to do something somebody hates me. I want to do somebody that's nice to me. I'm going to be back to them. Amen? Jesus got this thing all turned around. Does he? No. Pray for them that despitefully use you. God bless that brother. He ran over my dog. Tore up my fence. A dog went out of my yard. Oh, God bless him. Dear God, that boss has been on my tail all week. God bless him. What does the Bible say? Now, pray for him. They despitefully use you. Hey, I need some help. Go over to help them. And then just talk bad about you. Spitefully use you. And persecute you. Wow, that's a pretty big stuff, isn't it? I don't know. This series number 5 on forgiveness, I don't know if I want to keep on going with this or not. Because I just might have to change my ways. I heard one more. Said, preacher, you just keep at it. Man, that's good. You just keep at it. Yeah, but I got to prepare these things. I got to live these things. I heard you giggling back, Chaplain. Matthew 6:12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Dear God, would you forgive my debt? Somebody owes me something. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and glory forever. Amen. But we forget to read the rest of that. Verse 14. It's funny, I've got people leaving now. I don't know why they're leaving. It's for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. If. There is a thing you got to do. If you forgive, then God will forgive. Therefore, if I don't forgive, God won't forgive. That's putting it pretty heavy. I mean, that's putting the peanut butter pretty thick on the bread. Amen. Verse 15. But But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. What's your heavenly Father? What's the trespasses of your heavenly Father? You go on things that God says, no, I don't want you to go to. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21, Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him till seven times? And Jesus saith unto him, I say unto you, until 70 times, until 70 times seven. I figured out that out with my calculator. That's 490 times. I have not met a man yet who I have to forgive 490 times. Now, there's been some that are close. I won't name their names, but I'm thinking of them right now. Mark chapter 11, verse 25. Did you just hear what I just said? What did I just say? I didn't forgive them, did I? I was reading a deal about forgiveness. And this lady said, I can't remember her name, but she said, forgiveness is forgetting, period. I had to think of that for a while. Forgiveness is forgetting. I read another quote that says, if a man will not forgive, he's pretty near gone. Mark chapter 11, 25, and when ye stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Folks, this is all in the Bible. I mean, it's just, the more I read on forgiveness, the more I find out that it is a lousy, terrible sin that I am unwilling to forgive. There are some people in this world, I'm probably even some people in this church, you got some old granddaddy or grandma or aunt or uncle or a dad or mom or stump step person or something, you just won't forgive them. Shame on you! The God said, if you don't forgive, I'm not forgiven. I want my sin forgiven. Every time I go up to prayer, the first thing I say, dear God, forgive me of my sins. Lord, you know this, you know this, you know that, and that person pulled out in front of me and made me so mad and blah, blah, blah. Yes, you're the same way, you rascals. I think that since I started this series that I drive different. I was in a big hurry the other night. These two people, I would have said idiots, but see, I'm learning. Got in front of me, and they kept going like this. You know, I know who it was because they had different license plates in Montana. And they were just having fun jockeying like that with me. I know they were. And I said, whatever. And I thought, maybe, Lord, you put this barrier in front of me to keep me from getting an action or something. I could not get out of my house soon enough on Thursday night. I couldn't find a flashlight. Could not get out of my half hour. I got up the Warden Bridge. Three accidents on that bridge. With my keen computer like mine, I realized I'd probably been in the middle of it. And here I was griping at God that these stupid people were in my way, and I got right with God and asked God to forgive me. And then I got to the bridge and lights were on. I had to go clear around, get to the other place. How many saw that the other night? Yeah. Sometimes the things that we gripe at, God's just trying to help us. It's a new trick I just learned. Luke chapter 6, verse 35. Man, he just keeps putting these in the Bible. But love your enemies. Do good. This is the killer right here. This is the one that you will take people to court about. Ready? And lend, hoping for nothing again. Guy comes up and says, hey, can I borrow? You're not supposed to hope you get that money back, but you borrow somebody something. Hey, can I borrow something? Sure. At that moment, and you say sure, that means you are not the one. Have any hope that you'll ever get it back. I know some people who have tried to help out their children. And they give their children a loan. First of all, I think that's very stupid. My wife agrees with me. Amen. When your child needs something, give it to them. My grandmother gave me loaned me $400 when I got married. Guess how much money I had to get married on? $350, because I paid $50 to the preacher. And I told her, Grandma, I'll pay back. Okay. I came home about a year later, and I said, Gaga, I said, Duh, I got some money I want to pay back. She said, no, honey, I want you to keep it. I'm learning that just give it to them instead of loaning up, because loaning makes me feel bad. I'm just going to give it. This little piece of information won't hurt you a bit. It's better to give it to them when you're alive than when you're dead and they're fighting over it. End of story. Hoping for nothing again. I wish you'd write that in your Bible. I wish you'd write that in the back. When someone needs some help, give it to them and don't loan it to them. Just give it to them. Now, there are some people, and God bless, I've had some folks who need some help, and I helped them and didn't expect it back. Sure enough, here they came. Gave it to them. The people I'd never expect them to do, they paid it back. It's an amazing, incredible thing. Made me really happy because I didn't think I'd ever get it. And I spent it anyway. Now, continue with that. So, when I loan somebody something, now this is all in forgiveness, right? This has to do with it. When I loan somebody something, and I don't expect to get it back, not that I'm saying they're bad people, I'm just not expecting to get it back. Listen to what the Bible says. You got your Bible open? That's Luke chapter 6, 35. And your reward shall be, huh? Your reward shall be what? Hey, does God give out junk? Your reward shall be, this has to do with forgiveness. Because the man came and said, hey, I need to borrow something. You gave it to him. And in your mind, you say, by God's help, says, I probably not get it back, and that's okay. So therefore, when you loan something, you make sure that you can loan it. Guy comes to you and says, I need $1,000. Some of you can loan $1,000 tonight. Some of you can even loan the interest on $1,000. So you can't do what? I'm sorry, I don't have it. Well, you got it right there. But you understand, I got a week to live on that right there. But if you can loan it, and they need it, you loan it, and then you just consider it G-O-N-E. So when you do that, now here's the principle. Here's the biblical principle. When you do that and you loan that person, you figure it's what? You're supposed to sing it. G-O-N-E. But gone. You think it's gone. You know it's gone. Not out of it because of their character, not out of it because you just are going to put that out of your heart because you're not going to use that to be unforgiving. That's what I'm trying to get at to you here. So you're going to get it. But look at what the Bible says. And your reward shall be great. And ye shall be the kingdom, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and the evil. Do you get that? Turn this thing on. I'll turn it off and Andy put a new battery on it, will ya?
Do you understand what that meant?
God says, hey, I'll reward you. Your reward will be what? Great. You'll be known as the children of the highest. For God is, what you're doing exactly what he do. For he is kind unto the what? Huh? The what? How many times have you given people stuff and they're unthankful? You let them borrow something, they tear it up. Years ago when our church was just starting, there's a family in our church, really, they were having some trouble. Their car broke, and so I had two cars, and I said, hey, I'll let you use my car. Not realizing they were going to take it up in the mountains and cut wood and fill it full of wood and bring it home and literally tear that car apart. This is my car. And if you know anything about my stuff, I want it nice. I try to keep it clean. I can make sure the oil's in it and the antifreeze, and I'm just fussy about it. But I'm willing to let you have. Well, when I found bark in the car, tree bark in the car, and moss and things, I said, hey, where are we getting that? So we went out and got some wood for our fireplace. Keeper, that was nice. There are people that are going to use you. There's people going to take advantage of you. And let me tell you something about God. God has always been taken advantage of. And you have taken advantage of God many times. So God is saying, if you're going to be called the children of the highest, you are going to be working with people who are unthankful, and you're going to be working with people that are what?
Evil.
Does that mean I have my choice who to be forgiving to? No, I have no choice. But my kids, they never pay back. First of all, you gave them something and you should have given it to them and not borrowed it to them. They're your children, they're your bloodline, yeah, but they may spend it on drugs. That's their responsibility and God will get them for that, amen. But you're responsible. You're responsible for this right here. You're responsible for you. You're responsible for you before God and before man. And when someone needs something and comes and borrows, guy came to my house the other day, he said, preacher, I need $20. I'm hungry. I said, come on over. I'm not saying it because I'm so great. I'm just telling you, this is what you're supposed to do. And he came over. I know I won't get it. He said, I'll pay you back next Saturday. Next Saturday came. Guess what? I wasn't standing at the door waiting for him because I'd wasted all Saturday. Quit your whining. Get over it. It's life. I know people that they just always need help. They're just always in trouble. They're always needy. Which I praise God for because that means that I have an opportunity to do what Jesus told me to do, and that was to lend and to give and to help and be a lover and be a helper to those who are in need. I never run out of people who need help. And neither will you. I have a hidden agenda that, though. It's right here in the Bible. That my hidden agenda is this, and your reward shall be great. I'm not doing this for you. I'm doing this for Him. When I give, I'm doing it for me. He said, I don't get this. Well, just read your Bible. God has given us, Jesus said, you'll always have the poor. Why? So we who have received something from God, we can bless God and say, thank God I have this and I can give this. I'm telling you, it's good doctrine. It's a good way of life. I'd rather be given than have to go borrowing. I'd rather that I had something in my pocket than had to go looking for somebody that has something in their pocket. I'd rather be full, and I certainly am, than be starving and looking for something to eat. And therefore, every time that someone comes to me and comes to you and says, I need some help, you ought to rejoice, glorify God, do a double back flip and shout glory, hallelujah, all the way home, amen, and help them out a little bit and make them feel that, and not make them feel that they are below you. Never make a person feel below you. Because if it wasn't for the grace of God, you'd be there. You made some bad mistakes, but somehow you got caught up. Right? Somehow you got caught up. Somehow you got a job. Somehow somebody helped you. You can be the same place. Rejoice. Praise the Lord for what God's given you and use it to God's glory. Amen. I hope that will help you. Let me remind you that at the foot of the cross of Jesus, no one seemed very sorry. There was no justice at the trial. Here the Son of Man, at the mercy of His accusers, they were with perverse glee on their face. People demanded His death. Crucify Him. Crucify Him. Crucify them. Furthermore, those who passed by hurled insults at Him, shaking their head and saying, this is what it says, Matthew 15:29. And they that passed by railed on Him, wagging their heads and saying, ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priest. This is the head of religion, the chief priest. Mocking, said among themselves with the scribes, He saved others. Himself He cannot save. Let Christ the King of Israel descend from the cross, that we may see and believe, and they that were crucified with Him reviled Him. Jesus' response? Someone help her out, please. Yeah. This is Jesus' response. This is Jesus' response. Look at me now. Look at me. This is Jesus' response. Father, 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 forgive them, for they know not what they do. Thomas Chisholm wrote this song. It's called, Oh, to Be Like Him. Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, this my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all the earth's treasure, Jesus, the perfect likeness to wear. The second verse gets a little deeper. Oh, to be like thee, full of compassion, loving, forgiving, tender and kind, helping the helpless, cheering the fainting, seeking the wanderer sinner to find. Then he goes, Oh, to be like thee, lowly in spirit, holy and harmless, patient and brave, meekly enduring cruel reproaches, willing to suffer, others to save. The Lord may say to you, while you are praying, forgive that person that has offended you. Forgive that person that has been unkind to you. And you say, Lord, do you know what you're asking me to do today? You're asking me to set them free as if they've done nothing wrong. If we're to forgive them, let me remind you of a special biblical principle. If you forgive me, I will forgive you. Father, I pray you speak to our hearts. Dear God, I understand a lot of this. But I do understand that I'm supposed to forgive them. I understand how that you can give us great blessings. But I'm going to trust you. Lord, I pray for each one of you here today that we'd get a hold of this thing of forgiveness. And we'd embrace it. And Lord, the things that we have, people have really hurt us, and people have really taken advantage of us, and people have really, really conned us. Lord, help us to remember that you said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Help us remember that it is not me, it is not us that judge, it is you. Dear God, please bring forgiveness into our hearts and our lives and help us to be more like you. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and you say, Preacher, I'm really not sure I'm saved. I'm really not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. And I'd sure like to know that. First of all, that is the greatest forgiveness of all, that Jesus Christ has forgiven you. You're here today and say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Will you please pray for me? Would you lift your hand up right now and say, pray for me? God bless you, sir. Anyone else? You're here today and say, I just don't know if I'm saved. I just don't know if I've got eternal life. I just don't know if I'm one of his. I want to make sure of that today. Anyone else? Let me pray for you. You're here today and you say, Preacher, I'm saved. But I have not followed Lord and believer's baptism. I need to do that. Yes, you do. You're here tonight and today and you say, Preacher, there's some things in my heart and my life. I just have not turned loose. I need to forgive. Pray for me. God bless you. Yes. 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 Yeah. Father, in this quietness of this hour, I pray that you do your business, Holy Spirit. Lord, if there's anyone here today that need to be saved, Lord, today would be that day. Those that need to follow you and those that need to get rid of some things in their heart, their life, may they do that today. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Going to ask everyone to stand. You're here tonight and you say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven, but I want to know. Why don't you come? You're here today and say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Boy, a lot of this stuff is pretty foreign to me about this forgiveness business. Good night. You mean I have to do that? You can't do that unless you've got Jesus in your heart. I'll tell you right now, you cannot do it unless the Spirit of God's in your heart. You can't forgive. You'll never forget. But you're here today and you say, "Preacher, there are some things that I need to confess before my Holy Father. It's the way I've been harboring things in my heart and my life, and I want to get that taken care of. Why don't you come right now? Why don't you come? Use this altar right now. Quickly, quickly come. Say, you know, preacher, there's some things in my heart. There's some things in my life I got to let go. I got to get over it. I can't go anymore like this. I tell you, it's worse than a cancer, the Bible says.